Today, we're going to be in Hebrews, so if you want to turn to the book of Hebrews, you'll be ready. Last week, you know, I told you guys we're talking about spiritual maturity this year, and last week we talked about pursue, and how we are to pursue God, and we are to pursue His righteousness. We are to pursue the things of God. And this week, we're going to talk about denying yourself. Now, you know, if we're going to reach spiritual maturity, we have to put these four things into practice. Pursue, deny self, take up your cross, and then follow. Well, I told you we're going to spend a Sunday on each of these topics in the month of January. That hopefully sets a little bit of a foundation for you as we go February, we go into the book of Romans. Now, when we hit the book of Romans, you're going to need to buckle up, like put yourself in, because when we hit the book of Romans, we are going to switch a gear that I promise you, not because I intend it to, not because it was written that way, but just simply for the content, the book of Romans will challenge some of you, will offend some of you, will anger some of you, will cause some of you to call me and tell me how wrong I am, and I'm going to have to say, well, hold on, before you tell me how wrong I am, read it again, because it's the word of God, not the word of the pastor. And so as we go through this, guys, I'm telling you, I am challenging you for one reason. If I leave you alone, you'll stay where you're at. And if you stay where you're at, you're not going to spiritually grow. And if you don't spiritually grow, then you're not going to understand better who Jesus Christ the Savior is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who the Heavenly Father is. So as we look at this today, we're going to talk about denying self. And again, it comes back to decisions, making decisions. And every one of us have to make decisions in life. And sometimes we say, hey, you know what? I am not going to make a decision on that. And then life goes on, things happen, a decision is made whether we want it or not, and it goes on. And when we say we're not going to make a decision and it goes on, the reality is you still made a decision. And people go, well, they decided without me. No, you decided and they had to move on. You see what I'm saying? And so we have to be really careful that when we have to understand that we are where we are because of the decisions that we make. And I guess I'm pushing that the month of January, because I want you to see that you have to take responsibility for your own actions, that you have to look at yourself, look at your relationship with God, look at your relationship with your parents and with your employees, your employers, with your co-workers, with your family. I mean, you have to look at yourself and everywhere you are and determine and understand that your decisions, for the most part, have put you where you're at. But it's also your decisions that can take you where you're at to some place that you need to go. You know, we don't have to stay where we're at. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about denying yourself. That's a tough one in America, because we want what we want, we like what we like, and we go after it, and you're going to tell me I can't have it, and I got to deny myself, and I don't like denying myself. And you know, really what denying yourself is a lot of times, as a matter of fact, there was a test done where children were given Reese peanut butter cups. And so the children were put at a table, and they were set there, and they put Reese peanut butter cups in front of them, and they were told, listen, if you wait, you know, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it is, then you will get double, you'll get two of these, but if you eat it now, that's all you get. And the majority of the children, they would show the video, and they're sitting on their hand, and they're biting their nails, and they're looking at one another, and they're looking at it, and they're like licking their lips, and their eyes are all big, and then they look up, and I mean, it is insane, driving these kids insane. And some of them couldn't make it. And some of them did make it. And it was so funny, because when I seen this video, I was still in college, my girls were still pretty young, And I think at the time they were 4 and 5, 5 and 6, whatever it was. And so I seen the video and I went, hey, let me try this on my kids. Yes. Just another way of torture. And so I told them, I put it down and I said, listen, you get one, but if you can wait 20 minutes, you'll get two. And I said, it's up to you. And I put them there, and I put the timer on so they could see it, and I walked away. Well, I came back, and I peeked in the room. You know, you don't want your presence to be known. So I peek in the room, and I hear Taylor telling Tori, listen, if we hold out, it's double. You know what I'm saying? She's like, this is 20 minutes. We can wait 20 minutes. This isn't bad. And look, we'll get both of them. And I mean, so then they start talking back and forth, and it, all of a sudden, they just ignored them. Both of them were like, cool. You know what? In 20 minutes, we'll get the whole thing instead of half. And it's that delayed, are you willing to take the delayed gratification? Most of us aren't. Well, here in this passage, in chapter 11, if you'll look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. And we're going to unfold this because I want you to see. I put this whole sermon together this last week, and then, you know, with multiple passages, and I was feeling pretty good about it. And then last night I was doing some more, or yesterday afternoon I was doing more studying and just kind of freshening up, you know, making sure that I have my sermon down and I'm ready to rock and roll. And then yesterday about 3 o'clock, God said, scrap your first one. And I sat there going, I'm not saying no, Lord. Right? It's like, I'm not saying no, Lord, but we need to discuss this. And God says, scrap it, and here's where I want you to go. And he took me to this passage, and when I read this passage, I told my wife, I said, this is perfect. Absolutely perfect for deny yourself. Absolutely perfect for what we need to talk about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. And we're going to read 23 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. If you remember, Pharaoh said all children 2 years old and younger need to be put to death. Well, Moses fit into that time frame, and so they hid Moses, his parents did. They hid him according to what God said to do. And we know this because it says by faith. And literally this by faith, you could say because of their faith, when Moses was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. You see how that, literally, that's what we could do. And so they hid him for 3 months. They were not afraid of the king. They loved God. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, or we could say, because of Moses' faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, or because of his faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so, guys, as we look at this passage and we unfold this, this is really a pretty incredible thing that Moses does. Moses is about 40 years old at this point, and you got to remember, he grew up in Pharaoh's castle, or his kingdom, if you will. Moses had no need. Moses could have taken the throne at some point and been Pharaoh himself. Moses could have done all these things. He's 40 years old right now, and he's got to make a decision. Am I going to become an Egyptian, and am I going to be with Pharaoh and serve Pharaoh and possibly be Pharaoh down the road, or am I going to deny all this riches? Am I going to deny all these things, and we're talking, listen, when you were next to Pharaoh in Egypt, everything was yours. You could say, I want, and it was handed to you, and this is what Moses grew up with, and now he's got to make a decision. Do I stay here in this castle where everything is grand and glorious and I have no need, no want, and it is just a wonderful place to be? Or do I deny myself the earthly pleasure and go be with my people, the Israelites, who are poor, who are abused, who doesn't have a home? Do I deny myself the earthly joy of Pharaoh's household? Or do I join the Israelites, my people, and deny myself? And you know what he says? I'm going to leave all of this because it's but for a moment. And I'm going to go over here. Yeah, I'm going to struggle here. It's going to be difficult here. But my reward down the road is going to be grand. And guys, that's where we're at today. The question you have to ask yourself, am I going to stay where I'm at, pursue the things of the world, or am I going to deny myself the things of the world and pursue righteousness? It's very difficult sometimes to deny ourselves, amen? Especially, listen, there's things that we want and we just want it and it is good. And we can go, well, there's nothing sinful about it. And you could be right. There's nothing sinful about what you want. But if what you want is going to hold you back from God, then it's sinful. It may not be sinful to somebody else because it's not a problem. But for you, it could be an issue. For you, your attitude toward it could be overwhelming. For example, I went to buy a new truck, and my wife and I both agreed on an amount that I could spend on this truck. And so I went searching for a new truck, and as I'm searching for a new truck, I happen to find, I just have this window that I can spend, I can only get a certain truck, and it happened to be, I could go as high as 2000, a 2002, 2003 GMC or Chevrolet, because I understand that Ford had a better idea. They just failed to use it. And so Chevrolet, on the other hand, or GM product, did not. And so I'm looking for a truck, and I find this truck. And I'm going to tell you, this truck was gorgeous. It was white. I love a white truck. Amen? It was white. It had oversized tires on it. It had nice chrome, expensive chrome rims on it. I mean, high dollar chrome rims. High dollar. I'm talking nice. And the truck was owned by an older gentleman, and it just looked brand new. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen pictures of this truck, and it was 4,000 more than what my wife and I agreed on the budget. 4,000 more, which is a lot more when you consider what my budget was. And I went, oh, I could get this truck. Now, I can get a loan. I can, or I can just like empty my bank account. Man, it's only got 75,000 miles. Man, this truck is worth buying. It's low mileage. It's a beautiful truck. Look at that truck. It's a beautiful truck. Man, look, whoo, I got to get this truck. And so I got caught up in the desire of this truck. And so my wife said, I said, listen, we can do this. And she said, well, we had an agreement that we settled on a certain amount. And I go, yeah, but that was before I found this truck. You see what I'm saying? And so that's really not a fair agreement because I didn't know about this truck. And I said, well, listen, here's what we'll do. I'll just borrow the extra. It's not a big deal. We'll make payments. Well, my wife and I have been debt-free since 1996, except for our house. And we agreed back in 94, when I got saved, we agreed that if we bought it, we paid cash for it. If we couldn't pay cash for it, we didn't buy it, with the exception of our house. Now I'm ready to violate that rule. Gee, you didn't see the truck. Oh, man, this truck. Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. So at any rate, I'm ready to violate all of our rules. Can we turn these outside lights down some? I'm ready to violate all these rules and get this truck. And so I told my wife, I go, listen. And so finally, long story short, my wife, she always does this to me, and I'm ready to divorce her over it. She said, Okay, I'm not. But she said, well, God puts you head of the household, so he'll hold you accountable. Do what you want. Let me tell you what that is. That's a dagger about that long. Turn it, you know. And so I looked at her and I go, I really don't like when you do that. And she goes, it's between you and God. Right? You know what you really want to do. You're like, let me just kick you under the table. How'd that feel? And so I went, no problem, I'll do it. Well, then I went and I was working on a job, doing some remodeling, and I called a friend of mine, and I said, hey, listen, here's what I'm looking to do, and I justified it to him, because it's a man thing. And he said, he goes, hey, I don't see any problem with it. Go on. And I'm like, yes, I got somebody on my side. And he didn't change his mind. And I'm really feeling good now. And then I hung up the phone. I went, that's right. I just justified everything I wanted to do. And so I called the bank. Yeah, I'm on a roll. So I called the bank and I go, hey, listen, I'm looking to borrow $4,000, maybe $5,000 to buy a vehicle. Well, what year? And I told her, the year, and she said, well, because of the year, it's too old, and you're going to have to pay 10% interest and blah, 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 and your payment would be $340 a month. Did you fall off the silly wagon? I don't think so. And I go, are you serious? Because, man, I remember like 20 years ago, it had been $100 a month. Right? How many remember that? Yeah, $100 a month. Oh, man, I'll pay it back. It's no big deal. And she said $300. And I go, well, let's stretch it out a few more years. And so she got it down to $275. And I went, I'll call you back. And so I hung up. And God went, see? Right? God went, I told you, no, you can't have the truck. Let me tell you why you can't have the truck. Because that truck causes you to sin. The truck itself is not sinful, guys. You understand that. But what it is sinful is the attitude. Yeah, if you'd have seen this truck, you would have gave me the money. And as a matter of fact, I was praying that somebody would say, hey, God moved me to help you get a truck. But God was going, no, because you're putting that truck before me. And so God smote my heart, and I called my wife up, and I said, hey, babe. You know, and this is where a man is like, you're right. I don't want to. And I said, listen, God made it clear I'm not to get this truck. And she goes, I could hear in her voice. She didn't say it out loud, but I could hear her go, whoo, thank you, Jesus, praise God, glory, amen. What she said was, okay, well, I left it up to you. It'd been better for her to say, thank you, Jesus. And so I didn't get the truck, but here's what really happened. God has showed me that my attitude toward that truck, because I was not willing to deny myself what I really wanted. And because I wasn't willing to deny myself, I was going to rob my family of the money that was set aside for other things. I was going to rob my relationship with my wife. I was going to rob us of the joy that we had, because you knew it would have created animosity. You know, as soon as I drove that truck up in, from that moment until Jesus came back, every time we looked at that truck, or every time that truck would have came up as an issue, you know that tension would have come right with it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah, so I never would have got to enjoy that truck. And God said, you know what? Here's the thing. You need to deny yourself, because if you get that, you're denying me. See, it wasn't the truck. It was my attitude toward the truck. And the same way with Moses, it's not the riches of Pharaoh. It's the fact, though, that all that, he had to make a choice. Am I going to choose all this riches, or am I going to choose God? Am I going to have delayed gratification? Isn't that what he said? Look here in 11. In 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He says, you know what? Listen, I'd rather have the reward of God, the blessing of God, the hand of God, the power of God. I would rather have God on my side and everything about God on my side than to have the riches of Egypt, because they're going to fade away. I'd rather have the relationship with my wife, the relationship with God, and having not stolen the money that was set aside for other things for my family than to have had that truck. Listen, every decision we make is going to determine the direction that we go. And it doesn't matter if it's emotional, physical, financial. It doesn't matter. Every decision you make will determine the direction of your life. Every decision. It'll determine your relationship with others, your relationship with God. Every decision you make will determine your rewards and where you go. And I don't care if you're here today and you say, well, I don't believe in God. That's fine. You don't have to believe in God to understand every decision you make will determine your life. That's just a fact. So when we look at Moses, and Moses said, listen, I am going to get rid of all the riches because I want the reward. Guys, think about this for a moment, though. And what caused him to make that decision? Here's what caused him to make that decision. Look here in verse 24. By faith, because of Moses' faith, is really what it says. When he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Because of his faith in God. I'm going to tell you, if you have weak faith, you will make very poor decisions. Because your decisions will be based on what you want and on your desires rather than sustaining the right relationship with God. It's really very simple. And so your decisions that you make today are completely, completely, completely determined by your faith, or your faith will determine the decisions you make. Do you understand that? When you're selfish and you don't deny yourself, you're going to make decisions that are going to separate you and your family, your spouse, your children, separate you from God, separate you from work, separate you from home, separate you from church. Listen, your decisions, you're going to make them because determining the faith that you have in God. Because the truth is, if you make a decision that draws you closer to God, it's because you have stronger faith. If you make a decision that draws you closer to satisfying your selfish desires, it's because you don't have a relationship with God. It's really cut and dry, guys. I'm not going to make this difficult for you. I'm going to make it real simple that if you deny yourself. Well, here's the interesting part of this. If you look at Moses, Moses says, I can have all of Egypt if I just choose to be Pharaoh's daughter's son. All of Egypt can be mine. And we think that because we're Christians, and if we deny ourselves, then we don't have anything, we don't get anything, and we're punished, and oh, to be a child of God is just painful, and we got to do this and do without that, and we got to, and this, and man, it, you know what, being a Christian is just tough because we don't ever have anything. But that's not the truth of it. You look at Moses, and Moses, listen, if he would have chose to be the son of Pharaoh, taking that position, Moses could have been the king of Egypt. But who would have remembered him? Have you thought about Pharaoh and who Pharaoh is? How many know what Pharaoh's name is other than Pharaoh? And how many know which Pharaoh it is that sits there, unless you know the dates and what was going on and you really do the research and you do the history? And Moses says, listen, I'm gonna deny myself that, but God, I'm going to serve you. And listen, I want the reward that you have, not the reward that's going to fade away. And how many people now know who Moses is? I mean, you have the world who made a movie about Moses. How many movies about Moses? So not only do the people from way back then know who Moses is, but even today, 4,000 years later, they know who Moses is. 5,000, whatever it is, they know who Moses is. I wonder why we think that just because we're Christians that we can't have things. God says, I want you to have everything. I gave you life that you might enjoy all things, right? But we think because we're Christian that we have to live under a rock and we have to... You don't have to. Listen to me. Being a Christian just simply means you're going to glorify God. You're going to deny yourself. You're going to glorify God. But when you deny yourself, that's not always a bad thing. Man, you know what? You deny yourself of the things that God says to deny yourself of, and what happens is you actually have a rich, full life. One without the pain. One without regret. How many have done things contrary to the Word of God? Yeah, how many today regret doing things contrary to the Word of God? Yeah. And it's not because God said don't do it. It's because you realize that after you did it, it brought a lot of discomfort or pain or anguish. And to this day, and it could have been 25 years ago, and to this day you still remember it like it was yesterday. Because it is that sin that is constantly nagging. It is that part of your life that doesn't seem to go away. Even though you're forgiven, it's just Satan keeps it at your forefront. Amen? And I just want to tell you that, listen, denying yourself isn't bad. It allows God the opportunity to lift you up. Denying yourself isn't bad. It allows God the opportunity to be glorified through you so that people see Jesus rather than you. You know, when you think about Moses and he went up on the mountain and he went up to get the Ten Commandments, and when he came down, he had to put a veil, he ended up eventually putting a veil over his face, but when he came down, the people were in awe of who he was because he had been in the presence of God. And he had the Shekinah glory glowing off of him. And everybody looked at him and knew that he had been in the presence of God. Can you imagine being in the very presence of God? And remember Moses even said, Lord, I want to see you. Allow me to look at you. And God said, listen, if you look at me, you cannot look at me in my fullness because you will die. I am so holy, so righteous that you will die. But listen, because of your relationship with me, because you've denied yourself, because you've chosen me over everything else in the world, I want you to see me. So I want you to turn around and you put your face in the cleft of the rock. And when I tell you to turn around, you look. And so God moves out, if you will, and he tells Moses when to turn around. Moses turns around. All he sees is a glimpse of a bright light. That's all he sees. And it is so holy and so... Moses is not the same man after that. Can you imagine if he wouldn't have denied himself? How he would have missed being in the very presence of God. How he would have missed being touched by God. How he would have missed being moved by God, being used by God. Listen, I'm telling you, it is not about the things of the world. It is about the reward that God has for us. But we got to deny ourselves. And by denying yourself doesn't mean doing without. It literally means waiting so that you can have something better. God doesn't want to take things away from us. God doesn't want to cheat us out of life. God doesn't want us to do without. God says, listen, I just want you to do with the right things. I just want to bless you with my blessings, not with what you think is the blessings that you deserve. And you look at Moses' life and he says, listen, I'm going to tell you what. I would much rather, look here in 26. Esteeming the reproach literally means considering and holding it at a higher value. Now think about this for a minute. The reproach is literally the pressures, if you will, that come upon your life for being a child of God. The abuse that comes along with serving Christ and with what Christ went through. He went through so much affliction, and that's what he's talking about. And he says, so considering or esteeming, holding at a higher value, the affliction of Christ is greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He says, you know what? It is more valuable to be afflicted of the things of Christ than what it is to have no affliction at all. Or to have all the riches of the world. Because let's face it, if you had the riches of Egypt, you had the riches of the world. And Moses said, I would much rather. And this wasn't just a quick decision. It says that esteeming or considering, depending on which version you have, that so Moses stopped and he thought about this process of denying himself. He processed this. He didn't just jump out on a whim. He processed it. He considered it. He thought about it. And he said, you know what? I would rather go through and have the afflictions of Christ, being that all that was put on Christ, than to have the riches of the world, because I have a reward that comes at the end of all this. And if you have the riches of Egypt, that is your reward. That's all you get. That is all you get. How many have ever bought something brand new, let's say like a car, and then after 7 years of driving it in New York, it's only half a car? Right? And there was so much value placed on it, and then after a little while, it just faded away and the rust got it. Or how many put things in storage and your storage unit got flooded out? Or you were really smart and you put it up in the attic where the water couldn't reach it, so the heat melted it. And right, I mean, and all of a sudden you go up there after it and it's gone. And you go, man, I was saving this. I was preserving it. It's so valuable. It's so important. Listen, the things of the world, they're going to go away. And when you die, guess what? You're going to have to leave them. Did you hear about the man who died and he told his wife, he said, honey, promise me that when I die, you will put all my money in the casket with me. And she thought about that for a minute because she's like, I'm his wife and I'm going to have to do without. And so she processed it. And he says, honey, promise me. And she said, okay, when you die, I will put all of your money in the casket with you. And the day came and he died. And she tossed and turned and toiled with that decision. And she said, what am I going to do? And she thought about it for a minute. And then at the day of the funeral, she walked up to the casket and she wrote a check for all the money he had and put it in the casket. Listen, you can't take it with you. Amen. You have never in your life seen a U-Haul following a hearse. Amen. It just doesn't happen. The hole is 6 feet deep. It is what? 3.5 feet wide by 6 foot. I don't know, whatever it is. A truck won't fit in it. We can't take it with us. Moses understood that. He said, you know what? I'd rather have the things of Christ than the riches of Egypt. Look here in verse 27. In verse 27, and I have no clue what time it is. What time is it? 11:30. Ooh, good. I'm wrapping up. Amen. I know you guys have heard that before. In verse 27, it says this. By faith, because of the faith he had in God, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Not fearing the wrath of the king, not fearing the wrath of what could come upon him while he was on earth, but Jesus Christ, what he couldn't see, that's what he wanted. The promises of God, because he realized that they were promises of truth, not just empty promises that the world offers. And so, guys, I just want you to know that when you come up to making decisions, and by the way, in 2015, you're going to have to make decisions. They are going to be facing you. You will not be able to escape them. And if you don't make a decision in an area where you have to make a decision, you made a decision. Don't get upset. And so, here's what we need to do, guys. We need to understand that we will live and die by our decisions. You will be blessed or you will not be blessed by your decisions. I think it's time that we start denying ourselves of some of the things that we choose to partake of that are not honoring God. I think we need to deny ourselves of some of the things that we're choosing to do that are not honoring God, because they're not bringing us the reward that we could have. They're not bringing us the reward that God wants us to have. What they're doing is, if our decisions are poor, they're separating us from our Savior. We're going to live and die by the decisions we make. we have to determine the right decisions. How do we do that? Well, if you remember last week, we talked about in 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We looked at Jesus and we asked this question. Is what I'm about to do going to bring honor to Jesus? Is what I'm about to do going to bring honor to the Father? That's the question. Because people go, well, how do I know? What am I supposed to do? I don't understand. Listen, ask yourself, is my decision going to bring honor to God? And then you make your decision based off of that. It's really not difficult. Is my attitude for wanting this like Pastor's attitude for wanting the truck that he wanted? Because my attitude was sinful. I was willing to violate everything. Even though owning the truck wasn't sinful, it was my attitude toward purchasing it that was sinful. And I could have moved on with selfish motives and I could have bought the truck. Guys, you're going to have to make decisions that are going to determine your relationship with everybody. And so as we look at this, denying self is not a bad thing. And I don't want you to look at it as, well, I gotta do without, once again, religion tells me I can't have and I can't do. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is weigh out the cost. You have to weigh it out. Moses weighed it out. He said esteeming or considering. And then he chose the rewards of God rather than the things of Pharaoh. You're going to have to do the same thing. And then understand you're going to live or die by that decision you make. And if it's for God, you'll never go wrong. If it's for yourself, hold on. Wrong motives, hold on. So this year, when faced with decisions, your faith will determine your decision. And so if you want to know how close you are to God, just look at the decisions you make. See who is glorified and honored the most. And that'll show you where your faith is with God and your walk and your relationship. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come before you today, Lord, I just pray that you give us wisdom, discernment. Lord, you help us to look at life the way Moses looked at it. Lord, that we would weigh out the cost and that we would come to the conclusion that we would rather have the rewards of the invisible rather than the things of today that are going to rust and rot and fade away. And so, Lord, I just pray right now you would give us the understanding. And Lord, that you would show us through what we have and what we do, that you would show us our relationship with you. And Lord, if there's anything in our life that takes us away from you, Lord, that we would deny that. Because Lord, that's what's unhealthy. Lord, I just thank you that you love us enough to show us what draws us to you and what pushes us away from you. Lord, you love us enough to say no. You love us enough to draw us closer and to use us. And so, Lord, today, help us to make the right decisions that will strengthen us, strengthen our relationship with you, and bring you honor and glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.